your Father, but He's also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. Father, thank You so greatly for who You are. One who is so high and lifted up, so holy and so righteous, that no man could enter into Your presence without the proper sacrifice. You, of course, have even supplied the sacrifice. The blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In Your mind, in Your heart, in Your person. To redeem a wayward children such as I am. And these are so unworthy, so unable to touch the hem of Your garment, and yet You made the way for us to come into Your presence because You desired to be with us. How great is our God! How worthy of praise, glory, credit, honor forever and ever. I suppose when we are all together that the praises that we sing will last for all eternity. That men will have a heart then to be able to appreciate what You have done even more than now. Thank You, our high and lifted up God, our Father, our King, our friend, by Your closeness. Forgive now our sin. Grant tonight might be a night of just rejoicing over the things that You've done, the things You're doing, and the things You shall do. Greatly to be praised, You're worthy of all. May You magnify Yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Wow, I thought about tonight, and I, as usual, will give you an opportunity to sing the praises or to glorify God with your testimony if you have a heart to do that. Most of the time we sit like bumps on a log. When I was growing up, people were more readily willing to praise God than we are today for some reason or other. But nevertheless, it is what it is. The lack of attendance tonight shows you what people think about praise service. I mean, I'm not criticizing, I'm not groaning and griping too much, but I'm just stating a fact. Look around. Everyone knew that what this night was. And yet it was not of any value, not of any importance to so many. And I keep going back, and Barbara was the one, I think, that made up our little poster that we used when we were meeting in High Sky to raise the money. And it had the scripture verse and what David said, "I will not offer to God anything that did not cost me." I will not offer him a sacrifice that did not cost me. And I think about that. And we're so willing to ask God for something we want, we need, we must have. God, you have to come and rescue. God, we need you in this hour. We're so quick to ask, but we're so forgetful and short in our praises, in our thankfulness, in our gratitude for what he's done. David says, "Oh, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever." The word bless, as it's used towards God in our case, is a type of praise. When we bless God, we praise God. We credit him. We give him thanks for the things that he's done. "I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." All of you had gone to the fellowship hall on Sunday, and my family was standing around in the foyer and about to leave and go that way. And I called them back and I reminded them of a prayer that we were all praying last week. And I pointed to God's answer and how God answered that prayer. And I said, "Now look, to some this might be a little thing. To some this might be a coincidence." And even I had it crossed my mind that the answer that God gave, that it might not have been God at all. Maybe it was just a coincidence. No, it was too specific. When you pray a specific prayer and you get specific answers, it has to be God. It has to be a supernatural force. And I gathered my family around in the foyer and we praised the Lord for the answer to that prayer. I said, "Look at this. Don't forget and don't be shy to give God the credit when it's due. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts." That means, in that regards, evil. When God is said to be terrible, it means that he is judging evil and wickedness and perverseness. He says, "And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee." In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, Ephesians 3:20. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." According to the power that worketh in us. You've been born again? Then you know something of the power that worketh in you. God lives in you. You know something of the life of God that lives in you. When you're struggling and you're asking God's guidance and suddenly a thought comes, you don't know where it came from, but it showed up that gave you an answer and you thought it yourself, but you didn't think it. You couldn't funk it because it was too deep for you to funk. Only God could think that way. I know funk in the word. I didn't even get a smile. Help, Lord, give glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without end. I want you to look in Jeremiah chapter 32. The book of Jeremiah, as we think about thanksgiving, we think about praise. Jeremiah, called the weeping prophet so many times, cried and wept over the condition of his nation and over the judgment that he saw coming against the nation. We could very well be in that same plight in America at the present time. When evil is praised and righteousness is made light of and fun of in our nation, where on the very money we spend is stamped "In God We Trust." It's almost a joke now in so many circles. They're not trusting God, they're trusting the greenness of that money and the denominations of which is printed upon it. And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." There is nothing too hard for thee. I wonder sometimes if the simplicity of the problems that we have in our lives, if we don't belittle the problems and fail to pray because, well, God wouldn't answer something like that. God would not answer that kind of prayer. And God was not busy himself with something of such small detail. But why would it say, "There is nothing too hard for thee," if he didn't entertain for us to pray about all things? Verse 18 says, "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Oh, I love it. I have a few things written down tonight, and it's not like points in a sermon that you remember and you say, well, point one is this and point two. It's more of a thought process about giving thanks to God that I will give you in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, Elohim. We're talking about the triune God. Not God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit specific, but God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We're told in John chapter 1 that Jesus was the Word, and he was with God, and he was God, and by him were all things created that were created. And here Hebrews and Paul says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the Son being the S-O-N, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You remember what Jesus told one of the disciples? They said, "Show us the Father and it satisfies us, it sufficeth us." And Jesus said, "You've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, I didn't mean that Jesus was the Father, but he's the express image of the Father. If you see me, then you've seen my Spirit. Huh? If you've seen me, then you've seen my soul. Huh? Well, you can't separate them. We can't, at least. God can. We're created in a likeness. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are one God. Three personalities, three separate entities, but not three gods, one God. You're one body, you're one person. But you have three different personalities. A personality of the flesh, the lust and the desires thereof. A personality of the soul, where the emotions and the self-awareness, self-consciousness lies. And a personality of the spirit, where holiness and righteousness, washed as such by the blood of Jesus Christ, lives and endures. So he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins. There you go. What a glorious thing. God says no flesh, no man, no flesh and blood can be in my presence because of its vileness, its unrighteousness, its unholiness. But then God turned around and supplied the means to make us holy, to make us righteous by the blood of the Lamb. He purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Wonderful. Wonderful is our God. Two more places. Hold your place in Hebrews. I'm coming back. And the reason I'm not reading it now is because it doesn't fall in a proper sequence. But Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Notice verse 1. No, verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs or gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Thank you, Lord. What a promise. He doesn't cast off the aged, the gray hairs, the bald head. He doesn't cast off when we cannot produce like once we could. He carries us down into old age. I will carry you, he says in verse 4. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Thank you. I'm at a stage in my life where I appreciate that. I am happy that God puts that in writing and gives us that promise. I will carry you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation, King James word, your lifestyle, your living, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's more valuable and more important than God promising to be with us through thick and thin, through disease or health, poverty or riches? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank you, Lord. Goodness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Oh, think about it. The Lord God rules over the heavens and the earth. Oh, Lord, you've made all things. You made all things by your great power, by your great wisdom. And you keep them. You keep them from falling apart. You cause them to exist by working your mighty word upon everything. You are exalted above every star, of every galaxy in the universe. Yet you are the God of all mankind. You love each of us. How do I know? He said so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're the God of all mankind, the great personality, the great personally present, personally involved God who loves, who rescues, who takes care of all of us, who continue to trust you. It's you, O God, who exercises your gracious authority over all nations. It's you, O God, who exercises your grace, we sang about tonight, over each and all individuals in the world. There is none like you, the true and living God, who is personally present continually. The everlasting God, the everlasting King. Sometimes we think God gets mad at us and hides His face from us, as we've talked about before. When it's only part of the plan that He has for our lives. I praise you, O God. I had to sit and think about this. Actually, towards the end of last week, I was sitting reading my devotion and reading my Bible and thinking about my life. I went back and looked at my life all the way through and all the way up to the present. It was obvious to me to see the hand of God in so many areas. There were a lot of hurts. There were a lot of pains. There was some suffering. But in every aspect of it, in all the broad events of my life and over all the details of my life, God was present, as He is in your life. With you, O God, nothing is accidental. Nothing is incidental, and no experience is wasted in my life or in your lives. Every trial that you allow to happen in life is a platform on which you reveal yourself, showing your love, showing your strength, your power, not only to me, but to others as well. Oh God, you hold the future and you always will, as you promised, be with me. Not only now, but even down to old age, and then through all eternity. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 10, Jeremiah says this, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. For as much as there's none like unto thee." Who do you compare God with? "O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might." Yep, there is none like you, Lord. Great, and your name is great in might as well. You know, I sometimes think we have two vastly opposing opinions of God sometimes. Sometimes we make God so complex that we do not approach Him. We fail to approach Him. Sometimes we make God so simple that it dishonors Him. And it's more like, Christmas season than anything else as we approach Him and give Him our list of things that we want and we need. But God is far above that. God wants to be with us. He wants our friendship. He wants our love. He wants our praise. He wants the credit for the things that He does in our lives. That's why I called my family back together as they were leaving. I said, hey, come here. I want to tell you something. Remember what we were praying for? Here's what God did. Don't ever think that that was an accident. Don't ever think that was a circumstance of whatever. We were asking for this, this, and this, and it came through. Evidence that God listens to prayer and God answers. Boy, we give Him credit. When He answers our prayer, sometimes we fail to go back and say, thank you. Thank you. And I knew You would come through. But that's our God. How great. How lifted up. Father, thank You for Your great glory. Thank You for creation. Not only creation, but sustaining it all, holding it together. Thank You for life and every hour of it, every day of it. Thank You for troubles and problems. Though we may be sad at times going through those difficulties, we realize that You manifest Yourself to us in the midst of them, and You carry us through so many times. We fail to see the value of trouble. We fail to see the value of the storms of life when we get to glimpse You in the midst of it, helping us, guiding us, directing us, carrying us. What a mighty God we serve. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us, dying for us, and coming for us. Even so now, Lord, come quickly. We give You the praise for it all.